If you'll turn in your Bibles this evening to Isaiah chapter 37, Isaiah chapter 37, in just a minute we will read a passage of Scripture there. As you're turning there, I'm encouraged by your presence and to get out in this weather. I'm encouraged that you're here, and I hope that we can study something this evening that will help us to be better Christians in God's sight. When you drive along and you see a tree on the side of the road or in someone's yard, or you leave your own place and you're coming to the church building and you see the trees out by your house, what do you see? What are you looking at? Are you looking at the whole tree? There's the trunk of the tree and there's the branches. And in the spring and summer, there's the leaves. And in the spring, there might be some cherry blossoms or some color there, but are you seeing the entire thing? There's a whole part of that tree that you don't see. And it's a very integral part of that tree. You just see the top part. You don't see the part that's under the ground. You don't see the root system. I think sometimes we forget about the root system. We're going to talk about the root system this evening. We just see the fun part, the beautiful part, the obvious part. And if there's fruit, apple tree, we just focus on that, but we don't realize how that gets to that point. And that's the root system. Let me ask you this. When you see someone in your mind that you believe is a faithful Christian, what do you see? Someone that is really good in their attendance, they're very regular in their attendance, someone who maybe one of the men stands up and takes part in the service every week. The Bible class teacher. Someone who has their Bible class lesson every time. Someone who visits. Someone who does extra work outside the service. You name it. What do you see? Well, you see all of those things. But you don't see what's causing that. You don't see what is generating that. And that's the root system. This evening I want to talk about a statement that is made in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 31, where God says that there would be a remnant that would take root downward and bear fruit upward. Let's talk about that this evening. I want to talk about the part of the tree that we forget about. And that's the root system. I want to talk about the part of the Christian that we don't see, that we don't think about, and that's the root system. And that's the part that has to absolutely be there, or there's not going to be a tree, and there's not going to be a faithful Christian. In Psalm chapter 1, the person, number one, who stays away from sin, and number two, meditates on the Word of God day and night, they're like a tree planted by the water. And we've got to have a firm root system. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. A root system basically does two things for a tree or a plant. Number one, it gives them nutrients. It takes in from the soil, the little fingers of the roots go out there and take in the nutrients and the minerals from the soil and give that plant life. A root system gives life. And a spiritual root system gives spiritual life. No spiritual root system, no life. And then the second thing that a root system does is it gives that plant or that tree stability. I guess it was about a year ago, our neighbor lost about six of his pine trees right beside us. Fortunately, they fell in such a way that they didn't hit his place. They caught a corner of his garage, but they really didn't hit his place and they didn't hit our place, so that was nice. They landed in between both properties. But during that storm, the root system on those pine trees did not hold up those big pine trees and they just blew over. A root system gives nutrients and a root system gives stability and foundation. And we've got to have that in our life. So I want to talk about our spiritual root system this evening. Toward the beginning of the year, each year, I try to do some lessons that are foundational for the year. And this is going to be one of those lessons. Let's work this year on making sure that we have a good spiritual root system. In Isaiah chapter 36 and 37, the Assyrian army has come into Judah. They are taking various towns in Judah. About 20 years earlier, they had taken Samaria, and now they're pressing even farther south, and they're down in the area of Judah. Lachish and other cities have fallen. And Sennacherib has sent one of his generals or commanders, Rabshakeh, to speak against Jerusalem and try to get them to raise the white flag and surrender. So in chapter 36, about 701 BC, Sennacherib is warring against Lachish, and he sends Rabshakeh to Jerusalem to get Hezekiah and the people to not trust. Don't trust in Hezekiah, don't trust in God, just give up and come out to us. Rabshakeh taunts the people and defies the living God and blasphemes God. And so in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 14, as we should do in times of trouble, Hezekiah took the matter to God in prayer. He lays out this problem that he's facing in prayer to God. In Isaiah 37 and verse 21, God answers Hezekiah through Isaiah and gives the people a message of hope. In verses 21 through the end of the chapter, this message of hope basically has two points to it. Number one, the Assyrians are going to leave by the way that they came up. They're not even going to shoot an arrow into this city. They're going to leave. And you don't have to worry about them. They're going to be gone. And then another part of the message of hope is what I want to read in this passage of Scripture. Come with me, if you will, to verse 30 through 32. God's answer to Hezekiah's prayer. And this shall be the sign unto thee. You shall eat this year that which groweth of itself, and in the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped out of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Underscore in your Bible that particular phrase, because that is a very important principle for all time. And that is that we need to take root downward, and when we do, we will bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion they that shall escape. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this. And so Judah and Jerusalem will exist for another 100 years or so before going into Babylonian captivity. And then after Babylonian captivity, a remnant would come back and dwell in the land. And even beyond that, God's people would be in Zion, starting on the day of Pentecost in the establishment of the church. So God will always have a remnant, both physical at first and then much later in the church. But God promises, number one, that Assyria is going to leave, they're going to go home, and number two, there will be a remnant that takes root downward and bears fruit upward. We've got to have that same principle in our life. Roots and fruits are inseparably connected. And we read a lot in the New Testament about bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of righteousness. And we've got to understand that before that's going to happen, there's got to be roots under the ground. Before there's fruit on top of the ground. And it's the roots that sometimes get forgotten about. And we wonder sometimes when we, maybe in ourselves or we see it in others, where, you know, this person really isn't bearing fruit. There is a root problem. And it's underground. You can't see it. This person isn't stable like they should be. There's a root problem. They're not bearing fruit like they should. There's a root problem. And so this evening, I want us to think about it. And as parents, we need to be working with our young people on their root system. That's what's going to help them later in life. I think sometimes we are spending a lot of time on the stuff that's above the ground. And we might need to do that. We might need to talk about things like attendance and other kinds of things, being active in the church and so forth. But back it way up. Get underneath the ground and ask yourself what's going on. And it's a root problem. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 12. There's a few Bible passages that I'd like to look at this evening that show us the connection between roots and fruits. And in these Bible passages this evening, it's not always connected with what's good. Sometimes the roots will be bad and wicked and they're bearing wicked fruit. But there's a connection between roots and fruit. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 12. The wicked desires the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. You've got to start with the root system. And here's another thing about the root system. Which is the part of the tree that we like to look at? Everybody likes, in the fall, I like to look at the fall colors, right? The orange and the red and the yellow. And in the spring, I like to look at the cherry blossoms and the peach blossoms. Everybody likes to look at that part. What's the part that we don't normally want to look at? That ugly root part. But brethren, that's the part that is holding up everything else. The ugly part. The part that's ugly, the part that we normally don't want to look at, that's the very part that is supporting everything else that's beautiful. And so sometimes you have to spend some time on that dirty part, if you will. That ugly, dirty part. The stuff that people aren't going to see at the church building. They're not going to see it at the church building. They're not going to see the inward struggle that might be taking place during the week at home. They might not see you turning the TV off to spend some time reading your Bible. They might not see that. But that's the part that's building the root system. All they see is, well, they're pretty faithful in their attendance. Why? Because of a root system. The stuff that you don't see that's going on behind the scenes. So it could be something in your prayers or in your daily Bible reading, which all of our hands need to be going up every week. That's just something simple. It's something simple and an occasional, every once in a while we will occasionally forget, and that's fine. But just as a general rule, I should be reading my Bible every day just like I'm breathing. Just like I'm breathing or I'm eating or I'm sleeping, I read God's Word a little bit every day. It should just be natural. And there's going to be things, brethren, behind the scenes, just like the roots are below the dirt. Some stuff behind the scenes that we're working on every day that's building that strong root system. The stuff that doesn't get attention. The stuff that doesn't get seen a whole lot. But it's making us strong. There's some passages in Isaiah where, in Isaiah 11 verse 1, of course, the messianic prophecy involving Jesus. And there's some other statements there in Isaiah. Come with me to Isaiah 27 verse 6. Isaiah 27, verse 6, speaking of God's people, in days to come shall Jacob take root, Israel shall blossom and bud. That's the part that everybody likes to look at. And they shall fill the face of the world with fruit. But what comes at the first part of the verse? Jacob shall take root. So we like to, in the springtime, to drive around and see all of the beautiful trees and colors and things. There's roots under the dirt that are causing that to happen. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Are we working on our root system? That's the lesson. Jeremiah 12, verse 1, Righteous art thou, O Jehovah, when I contend with thee. Yet would I reason the cause with thee. Wherefore does the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they at ease that deal treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their heart. Here's a case of evil people with an evil root system bearing evil fruit. It works both ways. Chapter 17 and verse 8. There's a connection between roots and fruits. Where are your roots? Where are they? Jeremiah 17 verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted. Who? Back in verse 5. Not the person who trusts in man, verse 5. But the person, verse 7, who trusts in the Lord. Verse 8, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river. That's Psalm 1, verse 3 that we read this evening. And shall not fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. These verses show a connection between roots and fruit. Hosea chapter 9 and verse 16, turn with me there. Do we have the stability that we need? And do we have the nutrients that we need? This year may need to be the year where we work on the root system, the part that's underneath the ground, and then the part above the ground will take care of itself. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay the beloved fruit of their womb. Hosea is talking to wicked Israel before their fall, and they're gone. And their roots are dried up, and they're not bearing the fruit, and they're going to be cast away. So there's an inseparable connection between the two. Turn with me to the book of Amos, chapter 2 and verse 9. Amos 2, 9. Yet destroyed I the Amorite before them. Talking about the children of Israel going into the land of Canaan, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. So, the promise of God to Hezekiah and those in Jerusalem would be that a remnant would come back and take root downward and bear fruit upward. When you look at roots and fruits, you're looking at two sides of a person's character. Some people have roots without fruit. And some people have fruits without roots. Not in the literal sense, but in the figurative sense, some people, they appear on the outside to have things. They appear on the outside to be a faithful Christian, to serve the Lord, but they really do not have that root system. And then some people claim to have roots, but they don't have fruits. And James talks about how that we need to have a faith that shows itself. We don't just need to talk about being a faithful Christian. We need to show it with our fruits of action. And so we need both, not one or the other. In Isaiah 37, you take root downward and you bear fruit upward. Somebody says, I want to take off for the Lord in 2025. Well, here's how you do it. You get deeper so that you can get higher. you take root downward, the farther your roots go down and the farther that they go out, the higher the tree can be. You've got these big redwoods out in California, these massive trees. What's sustaining that? A massive root system. And somebody says, well, I want to soar and I want to get higher and I want to do more in 2025. Well, you need to be getting deeper if you want to be getting higher. You take root downward so that you can bear fruit upward. And we talked this morning about volunteering to go around the world and do other things. I want to do more for the Lord. Well, we've got to be getting deeper if we want to be getting higher. So turn with me now to the New Testament. I ask the question then, what direction are you and I growing? What direction are you and I growing? This root and fruit connection is found in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 13, you're familiar with the parable of the sower. And this seed that falls on the rocky place, Matthew 13 verse 5, others fell upon the rocky place where they had not much earth, and straightway they sprang up because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. There's just very little soil and probably a bedrock underneath that small amount of soil, and there's no depth of root. And so there's no growing, there's no fruit. And when Jesus explains it later in verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, and it will, straightway he stumbles, because he has no root in himself. Are you working on your root system? Am I working on my root system? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. The problem with the church at Colossae was there were false teachers there. Chapter 2 verse 8. They were teaching human philosophy. Some of it involved Gnosticism, and it was taking people away from Christ. And so the whole book of Colossians is about how that Jesus is our all-sufficient Savior. We have all that we need to have in Christ Jesus. Paul uses the word all in every chapter. All that we need, all wisdom, all knowledge is found in Jesus. You've got to stick with Jesus. You have all that you need in Him. So look at chapter 2 verse 5. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. However, it was being threatened. It was being threatened. As therefore, verse 6, you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, and established in your faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And notice that the root system in verse 7 is based upon what you're taught. We're going to get back to that later. What you're taught. But Paul says, rooted, that's going down, and builded up, that's going up, in Him. Let's work on our root system this year. And Paul says you can be established in your faith. The very next verse, in verse 8, they're to take heed. There are those in Colossae who are trying to spoil them or despoil them with their philosophy. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Ephesians 3:17, a similar statement there. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's how Christ dwells in us. That's how God dwells in us. That's how the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love. So in Colossians, we have rooted based upon teaching. Here we have rooted based upon the application of that teaching, where we love Christ and we love others. That grounds us. This is a sacrificial serving love. That grounds us along with the Word of God. Rooted and grounded in love may be strong. That's what a root system does. That's why the large redwood can stand. That's why some trees can withstand storms. It's strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Carlin spoke on this earlier, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. That fullness is a theme both in Ephesians and Colossians. Strength. And we need that today. So the first question I ask you this evening is, what direction are you growing? Are we growing upward? We're growing upward when our roots are growing downward. If we're not growing upward, something's wrong with the root system. So let's talk about that now. Where are the roots? Of course, the roots are underground. The roots are in the soil. And so the second question I ask this evening is, what soil are you planting yourself in? Am I planting myself in? I've had potted plants before at the house that weren't doing well, and I change the soil and boom, they take off. You get, especially if you buy that Miracle-Gro soil. Go to Lowe's and get you a big old bag of Miracle-Gro soil. Boy, it'll take off. It's got all kinds of fertilizer in it. The problem was the soil. The soil needed to be changed. And sometimes the Christian is wanting, well, I'm gonna take off. But the problem is they don't realize that their root system is in a soil base that is causing the problem. And whether it's the soil of the world, or whether it's the soil of being around faithful Christians, that's going to determine your growth. What soil are you in right now? What soil am I in? We face a problem of the world around us and wrapping around us, and Paul says, be not conformed to the world, and we're putting our roots out into worldly things if we're not careful. And that's why we're not getting the nutrients that we need. That's not why we're strong like we need to be. That's not why we're growing upward like we need to be. Our music and our movies and our social media and all the things that we fill our mind with, that soil, good or bad, that soil. Is it the soil of the world, or is it the soil of the faithful Christian life? You choose where you're going to put your roots. What kind of roots are you putting down? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Not money, but the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to notice that something is a root of something else. And a lot of times, 1 Timothy 6:10, we have lessons on evil. Homosexuality, murder, lying, theft, adultery. We have lessons on evil. But have you ever thought about the roots that lead to the evil? What are some roots that lead to evil? It is a root of all kinds of evil. We talk about evil, and we talk about how those are sins, but it's kind of like what Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount. Go back to the root of the problem. Well, the Pharisees were like, well, we don't want to commit adultery. Jesus said, don't look upon a woman to lust. Or, thou shalt not kill. We're not going to kill. Jesus said, don't have anger in your heart. So, there's a lot of evil out there in the world, but ask yourself, what are the roots that are leading to that? that are causing that. And we have to do the same thing in our life. What kind of roots are we putting down? And so somebody with this love of money, it's all about money. It's all about things. I work for money. Money, work, money, work. And Visa cards and buying the latest stuff and having the latest stuff. And then I work more and more money. It's just all about money. That is a root that causes evil things. And so I've got to ask myself, what kind of, am I a spiritually minded person or am I a monetary minded person? It's going to lead to other problems. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. It could be as simple as bitterness. Wow, bitterness. Somebody says, well, that, why is that on the Bible radar? Because that can be just as much a problem as the love of money. I'm bitter over what somebody did to me. And out of all the things that the Hebrew writer brings up here, he brings up fornication, which is a serious sexual sin. But before he brings that up, he brings up bitterness. Job loss. Someone did me wrong. Someone said or did something that was not right to me. And we're going to harbor that and we're going to be bitter. And the Hebrew writer says, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Well, Brother Reese, why are you troubled? Well, trace it back down the trunk of the tree, down into the roots. Oh, bitterness is way down there. The root system is extremely important to talk about and to study about because that is what is causing everything else, good or bad. So in our time remaining, I want to talk about four different root systems that are needed before we close. First of all, a good root system is needed of biblical doctrine roots. Biblical doctrine roots are needed in times of moral change and chaos that we're living in. We've got to have biblical roots. Our children have to have biblical roots. We are in a time of moral collapse. And we are spiraling out of control when we say a man can turn into a woman. We're spiraling out of control. By the way, folks in other countries are laughing at us. They're laughing at us over that matter. Because it's so obvious that that cannot be. They are laughing at us. We live in a time of moral chaos, like Isaiah 5, calling good evil and evil good. It's all turned upside down. You've got to have biblical roots, people, in that time. Because it's all over the place and you need to be grounded with what the Bible teaches about all these things. So the question naturally is asked, how well do you and I know our Bible? That's why we have to have a daily Bible reading. You show me a faithful, godly Christian, and there are many here at Warfield Boulevard. You don't see the root system. What you see is faithful attendance and men serving as elders and deacons and Bible classes. You see that sort of on the outside. It's the root system that goes way back and goes way deep that is causing what you're seeing. And we've got to have a very deep biblical root system. We have to have Bible-based sermons. We have to have Bible-based classes. We have to have daily Bible reading in our personal lives. We've got to know our Bible. Because it seems like everything in the world is up for grabs. And we're now all turned around on who is a man and a woman. So, read, read, read. Study, study, study. Be rooted and grounded in what you have been taught. And as parents, let's make sure, and as grandparents, as we have an opportunity, make sure it's fine for our kids to have the latest gadgets and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. But make sure that they have strong biblical roots. And some of it has to do with things like, well, where will my young person attend when they're off at college somewhere? Will they be attending somewhere where there's good Bible-based lessons every week? They're getting all that garbage sitting in class, not in every class, not by every professor, but it's there. They're getting that garbage. They need to be hearing sound biblical doctrine. In order to stem the tide of that moral change and depravity and upheaval. We are in a moral storm. And if you want your child to stand up tall in that storm, they're going to have a strong biblical root system. Speaking of storms, strong faith roots are needed in times of storm. So I ask the question, how fortified is your faith? Job loss. The doctor says you have cancer. Divorce. List some major life problem. Death. List some major life problem. Are you going to be able to weather that storm? One of your adult child comes and tells you such and such that's, well, that's a shocker. That happens sometimes. How are you going to weather that? Mom, Dad, I'm gay. And I don't say that lightly. That happens. I just want to let you know that I'm gay. How are you going to handle that? May we never have to deal with that, but some people have to deal with that. Some brethren in the church have to deal with that. What are you going to do on that night that you're told that? We're going to have strong faith roots because there's stuff that happens all the time that we don't even know about. Brethren come to church services all the time. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know everything that's going on in their life. You don't know all the news that they've been gotten and all the different things going on. And they're sitting there weathering stuff. Why? Because of the root system. The application of the Word of God. So the first one has a lot to do with information. Reading and knowing everything about biblical truths. The second one has to do with application. How am I going to apply it when the rubber meets the road and something bad happens in my life? Well, strong faith roots will help me get through that. Number three, close Christian association roots are needed in times of ungodly influence. And boy, isn't that everywhere. It gets piped into your life on your phone. You're holding it right there. Just all kinds of ungodliness. It's just a few inches away from your face. How do you get through all of that? By close Christian association. How Christian are your friends? I don't mean Church of Christ bench warmers. I'm talking about true, dedicated, committed Christians. How many of those do you have in your life? How many of those do you have mentoring you? How many of those do you have as close friends? How many of those are you texting and being encouraged by? You're going to need that. Because when you go to work tomorrow, you're going to be around ungodly influence. And you don't even have to go to work. It's on the TV and everywhere else. Let's be building Christian association roots and Christian association friendships. And when that ungodly influence comes around, the language and the dress and the habits, we just ignore that because that's not a part of my association. And then last of all, and this is very important, and sometimes I think something that gets overlooked, because you can actually have a person grow up as a child of God. We talk about raised in the church. They can be raised in the church and they can get up a little ways and then they quit. And you're wondering, well, wait a minute. They were always at church services and they always had their Bible class lesson and we had a daily Bible reading at home. Why is it that they've quit? Number four, you have to have living, nourished roots. They are needed in order to bear fruit. So how spiritually active are you as a Christian? There's a big difference between number one and number four. Number one is reading your Bible. And it starts there. Number two is applying what we've learned. Number three is picking the right kind of association. But number four is actively being active as an individual throughout the week, in and out of the service, during the service, in and out of the service, volunteering for things. I've known of brethren who have fallen away and they knew their Bible. It seems a little odd. They knew their Bible, but they have fallen away. They weren't active. They weren't volunteering for things. It takes that as well. And I think sometimes we overlook that. And as parents, we need to make sure that our children are active with us here at Warfield Boulevard. Get your children involved in the things you're doing. First of all, me, as mom and dad, I need to be active, but I need to be making sure my children are going with me and being active in those things. Take them with you. I got taken with my parents a lot to things, to visiting, to Bible studies. I remember, like, kindergarten age, sitting on the floor, Dad would have home Bible studies, and I'm just sitting there. He needed to take me on those occasions. And then on other things later on. But we've got to have roots that are active and bearing fruit. So please, in 2025, let's have strong biblical roots. We've got to be reading our Bible each and every day. Number two, we've got to be applying, when Jeff is teaching class or whatever class you're in, I've got to be applying that to my life so when the next storm hits, I'm fine. It's like the folks down in Florida that get ready for the hurricane. They go to Lowe's and buy all of the plywood and stuff. They get ready for that storm. You're getting ready for the next storm. And you don't just fall apart. And number three, let's work on in 2025, more Christian associations. Here at Warfield Boulevard, reach out through your texting and your phone calls or however you want to do that and build close relationships. Have people into your home. Go out to eat with other brethren. Spend time with your brethren outside the service. And number four, be as spiritually active as we can. This is the time of the year where we put up the sign-up sheet in the back for all of the things that can be done in and out of the building. Sign up. Put your name down and involve your kids when you do that. Bring them down to the building when you clean. Take them with you when you go give somebody a ride. And as they get on up and get their own driver's license and their own vehicle, have them go pick up the person that needs to be picked up. That'll be good for them. That's what causes us to actually bear fruit later and stay strong. Well, take root downward and bear fruit upward. Let's do that this year. I think a lot of times we are focusing on what's above the ground, and we haven't been focusing much on what's below the ground. And in tonight's lesson, I want us to think about what's below the ground. That ugly part that's got all the dirt on it. And it's not pretty, but it's the very thing that causes stability and nourishment in our life. Let's work on that root system. There may be someone here this evening that needs to come and listen to the gentle voice of Jesus. He is inviting you to come. If you need to come, put Him on in baptism, or if you need to come back to the Lord in some way, let us help you to do that as we stand and as we sing.